For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
How's it going, my ethos? And welcome to another edition of DFS Today. I am your host, Santino Cacone. This is your Saturday, December 4th edition. We have a nice six-game main slate for you that starts at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we have a showdown slate that's going to be at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Pretty nice. Not too bad today on this Saturday. I'll be running this one alone. And you know what? We can just get right into the nitty-gritty right here. Let's jump into that first game of the day. Starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Denver Nuggets traveling all the way across country to take on the New York Knicks. We have a 210.5 game total, and the Knicks are 1.5-point home favorites. On the injury report, we have Bol Bol, P.J. Dozier, Bones Highland, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Austin Rivers, all out for the Nuggets. On the Knicks side, we have Nerlens Noel, Jericho Sims, questionable, and R.J. Barrett as probable. We'll start with the Nuggets side of the ball. Everybody is out. A lot of people are out on this side of the ball. We know we can go right to Jokic no matter what. He's going to eat, especially in this matchup. Aaron Gordon has been playing really well lately. I like him. Three straight games of over 31 fantasy points and four of the last five in the 30s. He's looking really nice here. Monte Morris at 6'6". He's looking really solid here. He's been playing great. Four straight games over 20 fantasy points and counting. Looking really nice. Campazzo going to have to get a ton of run. The entire backcourt is out. Monte Morris and Campazzo are going to play a lot of minutes. And his very cheap price tag at 4.42. You can definitely get him in there. Marcus Howard might get some run here. With all the injuries, he played 14 minutes a couple days ago. If you need to throw somebody in there with 1K, that makes sense. There's just so many injuries on this Nugget team, especially in that backcourt. We know Jeff Green is starting. I don't really like him as much. I'd just rather go to Campazzo right there. Davon Reed just got called up. Might get some minutes. We don't know, but I think we're safe with Jokic. Gordon looks good. Morris, Campazzo, those are the guys that I'd be throwing in my lineup here. Marcus Howard, if you really need a bargain bin 1K guy to fill out your lineup, he might get 15, 20 minutes again. On the other side of the ball, we would love to get Randall. It might be hard to get Randall and Jokic in here, but there are some cheap options. We know R.J. Barrett is probable, so that's going to change up what we've been seeing a little bit in the backcourt with Quickly and getting a ton of minutes. He might lose some here to Barrett, but him, Barrett, Fournier, probably going to split a lot. Rose as well in multiple guard lineups. Alec Burks has been playing really well. We can look at him depending on the money. And the center position. If Nerlens Noel misses, that means more time for Mitch Robinson. That means more time for everybody's favorite Taj Gibson, who is only 1K, the bargain minimum 1K. If there's no Nerlens Noel again, he's another guy that you can throw in to fill out lineups there and likely get yourself Randall and Jokic in the same lineup there and not to feel too bad about it. Obi Toppin, we can look at him. He's been playing pretty solid lately. Gets minutes in the teens, most likely, but he's been bringing back very solid point per minute production here. And at only 2-4 in a showdown, I think we could fit him in here to get both Randle and Jokic in lineups and not really have to sweat down there as well. So I like them. I'm going to leave Kemba alone. Derrick Rose I'd prefer over Quickly. I'll leave Quickly alone with RJ Barrett coming back. I think Derrick Rose is going to play regardless. Don't mind taking Derrick Rose over Alec Burks. Alec Burks has been playing really great, but it's going to be tough to get all of them in there. If I can get Burks in there in that lineup and I'm going with a couple super cheap guys, makes a ton of sense there. But Mitch Robb is only an option for me if Noel is out. If he's in, probably going to split more minutes. And Mitch Robb hasn't been the greatest point-per-minute fantasy asset this year. So that's where I stand over there. And let's jump on over to the main slate, what we're all here for. We have the first game of the night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Chicago Bulls taking on the Brooklyn Nets in Brooklyn. We have a 219 game total. And the Nets are 3-point home favorites. We don't have an injury report for the Nets. They are on the back end of a back-to-back as of right now. But we know Kyrie Irving is out. We can definitely say that. Joe Harris is definitely out. Cam Thomas got hurt on Friday, so he is, we'll put, questionable for now. On the Bulls side of the ball, we have Alex Caruso as questionable. Javonte Green, Kobe White, and Pat Williams all out. We'll start with the Bulls. They are the away team. Vooch turning it on. 9-4. Not super expensive. Wish he was slightly under, a little slightly less priced up here. Back in the mid-8s where he was a couple games ago, would have been perfect. But he has been really solid. He didn't have a double-double in the last one, but he still scored 27 actual points, 30 and 14 before that. So he's looking really good. This is a nice matchup for him as well. The last time he played Brooklyn, he only shot 5 of 14 from the field, but still put up 44 fantasy points with 11 and 13 and 5. I think upside is even higher for that. I don't think he's going to shoot 5 of 14 from the field again against them. He's been on fire, especially the last two games, 22 of 37 from the field. So if he hits about 45-50% of his shots, 50 points well within reach here, like Vooch. Zach LaVine hasn't been playing great lately, but he has 3 games over 40 points in the last 5 games, so there is some upside there. Again, I just prefer Vooch for 500 more. All these guys are pretty close, him, DeRozan, LaVine. Vooch would be my call there if I had to pick one of the three. Alex Caruso is questionable. That is something to keep an eye on. Obviously, the guy has been awesome. Awesome. If he is playing, 5-1 is just simply too cheap for him. 5 straight games, he's beaten that price tag. So simply too cheap if he's playing. If he's not, that does open up things. Lonzo Ball is going to, and Zach LaVine is going to have more playmaking responsibility. I think that would work well for both of them. There will be more minutes. Kobe White's not playing, so there will, or Javonte Green. There will be more minutes for, like, say, a Derrick Jones Jr. or a Troy Brown Jr. Somebody off that bench, Ayo Dosunmu, somebody off that bench to get extra minutes, get extra run, feed into that starting lineup there. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Someone else will start. Or get extended minutes off the bench, or split up between the three of them, and they all make sense there at 3-1 and 3K and 3K respectively. So if there is no Alex Caruso, definitely changes things for the value here and helps out Lonzo Ball and the other guys a little bit here. If there is Alex Caruso and he's ready to go, I really like him in this one. All right, jumping on over to the other side of the ball with the Brooklyn Nets. Harden, KD, we know the deal with those two guys. They are studs. Harden's been putting up like a near triple-double all season. He's averaging 21, 8, and 9 right now for almost 50 fantasy points. His price tag is pretty high. This is going to be a very good game, though. I think it's going to be very high scoring. It is the second highest game total of the night by a half a point. We'll get to the highest one later on. Him and Durant are both playing really well. The price tag, you need like 60 points just to be a nice night for them. It is tough. I do think we have other options here where we don't have to throw in either of them, so I'm probably not going to have a ton of exposure to either. But can't fault you for taking them, especially in cash games. You know they're super safe. The floor is very safe with them. The upside, maybe not 65, 70, but the floor is definitely a rock solid concrete floor there. Outside of those two, DeAndre Bembry, 4,500. He does make some sense here. He's been really solid. He's still played 27 minutes in the last one. He only had 12 points, but he's getting a lot of a run here. And that is something that we can hang our hat on, something that we like for very cheap value over there. I'm interested to see Nick Claxton again. He only played 3 minutes in the last one, but now this will be a second game. This will be back-to-back. Interested to see if he can take some minutes from LaMarcus Aldridge as he gets his legs under him. Aldridge played 34 minutes in the last night, and I'm interested to see if Aldridge is going to play in this back-to-back. He has pretty much all year. He only missed that first one, so we'll see what happens there. Don't really want to go to him at that price tag, but I'm just interested to see what happens as we inch closer to the game and see if people change. If nothing changes, if the injury report stays as we kind of see here, since they don't have an official injury report, we just guess who was out last night. And if everybody from last night plays, pretty much I'll look at Bembry and not really touch too much else. But again, we don't have that injury report yet. That's going to change. All right, jumping on over to the next game at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Miami Heat taking on the Milwaukee Bucks in what is sure to be not what we expect in the playoffs. We have a 215 game total, and the Bucks are 5.5-point home favorites. The Heat also played last night, so we don't have an official injury report for them. But Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Victor Oladipo, Markieff Morris, they didn't play. They should be out again for this one. On the Bucks side of the ball, we have Giannis as doubtful. Might miss his second game in a row. DiVincenzo, Brooke Lopez, Semi Ojeleye, all out. We have George Hill as probable. DeMarcus Cousins as probable. So we might not have the big guns on both sides of the ball. We'll have to make do with that. Kyle Lowry at 7-8. We'll start with the Heat. They are the away team. Had himself a big game last night, 26-9, and dropped a bunch in the first half, bunch in the first quarter. He was playing really well. Tyler Hero, he scored 10 in the first quarter, and then didn't score too much after that. He only finished with 18. I expect a bounce back performance from him, especially in this matchup. Especially with no Giannis and no Butler and no Bam, those two guys are gonna be carrying this Heat squad here. We saw Vincent, Struss, Martin, Tucker all get extra usage, all get extra playing time here. Struss didn't really have a great game. Martin had a solid performance. Vincent had a solid performance with 12 and 4, 28 minutes. Deadman, he had 20 fantasy points. He only played 23 minutes at 7 and 6, but before that, he had a double-double. It makes a lot of sense at 3,700. You know he's going to start. You know he's going to get a bunch of minutes here, or good chunk of minutes, I should say, with no Bam. And if there's no Giannis, it only helps him stay out of foul trouble here. Dwayne Dedmon makes a lot of sense. I mentioned Gabe Vincent makes sense. There's a lot of value to be had here without Butler and Bam in the lineup here. PJ Tucker had himself a really good game going against his former team that he won a championship with last year when he came over in a trade halfway through the season. So at 3,500, there's just a lot of value to be taking stabs at here. And the bigger guys, Lowry and Hero, are going to get a ton of usage. So I do like this Heat squad going in multiple directions. We'll see what happens on the injury report if it changes since they did play last night. But right now I think you have a good amount of options there with Vincent, Martin, Tucker, Struss, if you want to take a shot at them. Probably in that order. Deadman, 3,700, cheaper there too. And Hero and Lowry to hang your hats on. All right, on the other side of the ball, we might not have Giannis. That's a big miss here. If Giannis does play, even at 11-8, and he's ready to go, 35-plus minutes, really like him in this matchup. There's not going to be Bam. There's not going to be Butler. A lot of people on that other team, the best defenders against him, not going to be here. Giannis could go for 70 if he plays for 35 minutes if he's ready to go, but he is doubtful with that calf injury, so Can't trust it. Don't think he's going to play. That goes right to Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis are going to absorb a lot of usage. We saw Drew Holiday put up 26-8-6 in that previous game without Giannis. Chris Middleton put up 22-8-2 in that previous game without Giannis, and they only scored 93 points as a team. So a lot of the points were there. Bobby Portis even put up 33 fantasy points with 15-11. I would stick with mostly Middleton, Holiday. I think they have the two best matchups. Holiday the most. I like Holiday's 7-7 price tag. Portis does get that bump, though, with just P.J. Tucker and Dwayne Dedmon down there. But I like Holiday to continue doing that flirt with the triple-double type thing if there is no Giannis. We saw Pat Connaughton draw the start. He played over 30 minutes, and he didn't do much with it. Don't really want to attack anybody else, to be honest, in this matchup, and I'm going to leave most of it alone. I don't mind a Grayson Allen sometimes because Giannis will open up shots for him, but I'm just sticking to Drew Holiday if there's no Giannis and going to Giannis if Giannis is good and ready to go here. All right, the next game starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Dallas Mavericks. We have a 217 game total, and the Mavs are 5-point home favorites. On the injury report, the Mavs played last night, so we don't have an injury report on them, but we can say Kristaps Porzingis and Willie Cauley-Stein did miss that game, so they're definitely going to come into today as questionable at this moment. On the Grizzly side of the ball, Kyle Anderson, Ja Morant, Sam Merrill, all out. Brandon Clark, questionable. Zaire Williams, doubtful. We'll start with the Grizzlies because they are the away team. And Kyle Anderson out, Ja's out. Jaren Jackson Jr. has been awesome lately. He's only played 20 minutes in the last 70-something point. That 73-point throbbing of the Thunder, and he put up 42 fantasy points. Against Toronto, he played 34, and he put up 45. Without Ja, he has stepped up big time. He has 52 actual points in the last two games, hitting at an elite clip from the field, and he's doing his normal. He has 7 blocks and 2 steals in those two games. So he's doing his normal stocks, hitting triples, playing really great, 7-6. This is a very solid price tag. I don't care if Porzingis is in or out. This is a really solid price tag to attack Jaren Jackson Jr. as when he's playing like this, we like Jaren Jackson Jr. Desmond Bain, 6'5". Going to be more minutes for him. Him, Brooks, Melton, and I'll get to them in a moment. Going to be more minutes. No Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson's playing everywhere. Power forward, small forward. He has been really good playing a lot this year. And they really like him as that coming off the bench. But with no Kyle Anderson, possibly no Zaire Williams, we'll see more John Kankar at 3,300. You could look his way. But a lot. Brooks, Bain, Melton are all going to get extra minutes here. Bain, Melton do make some sense. Melton shot 8 of 10 from the field in the last one. Only had 22 minutes, but he had 19 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, 35 fantasy points. We know this guy's upside if he can get the minutes. He is a tournament play. He is not safe in cash, but he does make sense in this matchup with Kyle Anderson missing. So does Tyus Jones. He's been playing really solid. He only had 21 minutes in the last one, but he almost had a double-double, 10-9. We know he's starting at point guard. He's going to see a lot of the ball handling responsibilities. We know he can rack up the assists, some steals, low-end points. At 5,400, he makes sense. And I mentioned John Kankar at 3,300. A lot of it was more so garbage time, but he did play 26 minutes. He had 7 of 8 from the field, 17-4-4. Strictly a tournament play because he is not to be trusted too much, but just another option who can take some of Kyle Anderson's minutes there, especially since Jenkins doesn't always want to give Melton the minutes, even though he's a point-per-minute stud. All right, we're going to jump on over to the Dallas side of the ball. Luka, I would prefer Luka over the guys in the Nets in this one. Not so much Giannis if Giannis plays, but over the guys on the Nets. We don't know if Porzingis is going to play here. He missed last night. Maybe it was just missed the first one, played the second one. We'll see. But if he misses, we know his upside. Even if he plays, we know his upside. So I do like Luka here at 11.5. Maxi Kleba, with or without Porzingis, at 4,100, he barely moved. Makes a lot of sense. Without Porzingis, he played 31 minutes in the last one, 13 points, 9 rebounds, put up nearly 29 fantasy points. He's going to play, and the Grizzlies like to play Jaren Jackson Jr. at the 5 now, but I mentioned Kyle Anderson out, Brandon Clark questionable. That might change things for who plays the 4 with them. But either way, Maxi Kleba might be playing 5, might be playing 4, could see 30 minutes in this one. 4,100, very, very solid price tag. Jalen Brunson, if there is no Porzingis, don't mind him here. We know he should play 30-something minutes in this. If there's no Porzingis and at under 5K, that's a solid price tag. If there is Porzingis, I'm not going to play him there. And that's pretty much it. I like Kleba, Luka, and we'll see what happens with Porzingis to change some things up here. All right, jumping on over to the next game of the night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the San Antonio Spurs taking on the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are on the back end of a back-to-back, so we don't have an official injury report for them, but we can say that Klay Thompson, James Wiseman are out. Iguodala has missed a few games. He's likely out for this one as well. On the Spurs side of the ball, we have Kidde Bates-Diop as doubtful. Zach Collins out. Devin Vassell doubtful. And on the game spread, we have a 219.5 game total, which is the largest of the night by a half a point. And the Warriors are 11.5 point home favorites. On the Spurs side of the ball, we can look at Murray. Murray's been on fire. His lowest point total in the last 5 games has been 47.5, which is just under value. he should be good in this matchup. This is a tough matchup, so the price tag is slightly above where I'd like it. But Murray makes a lot of sense here. And if you don't get to him, Jakob Poeltl, Derek White also makes sense. There's not going to be a Vassell, he's doubtful for this one. So that helps out Derek White's floor here. That helps him stay on the court more because Vassell had been chipping into his minutes a little bit when they both been playing and when White was struggling with the shot. Poeltl, the Warriors don't play a traditional center a lot. There's not really a traditional center outside of Kevon Looney right now. When he comes off the floor, there's a lot of Bielitsa, there's a lot of Draymond Green. But Poeltl can still handle himself very well here. 2 games in a row, 36 plus fantasy points. He could hit value. Even in a small ball lineup, I think Poeltl, his defensive prowess and the way he can switch should help him in this matchup. So I think 6-2 is a very solid price tag for him. Doug McDermott, likely to start here without Vassell. I'm counting him out. He should be playing a near 30 minutes here, 25 plus minutes here. So at 4-1 makes some sense if you want to just take a chance on some guy who's going to get minutes. And that also does help out Lonnie Walker get more minutes here. Don't love him, but he's mid 3K. And that is something we would want is extra minutes here in that matchup. And they might go smaller. So we could see lineups that match the Warriors small ball team. All right, we're going to jump on over to the Warriors side of the ball this time. Steph Curry at 11-4. This is a fantastic matchup for him. Coming off of back-to-back subpar games against the Phoenix Suns, where he didn't top 40 fantasy points each. He could be due for a turnaround game, a bounce-back, blow-up game in this one. Though it's the back end of a back-to-back, if they start going up ahead, I don't think they have to rush Curry into it. I think they extended a lot of energy in those last 2 games against the Suns. So I'm not going to have as much exposure to Curry as the other guys I mentioned, like a possible Giannis if he plays, or Luka. But I do expect to bounce back, obviously. I don't think he's going to do under 40 again. With that said, Jordan Poole makes a lot of sense. I think he's going to get run regardless. 30 minutes should be the minimum. And we know that he is ready to take on the mantle here. This is a fantastic matchup for him. And at 6,400, I think he's gonna pay off. We'll see who's in and out of the injury report. I mean, Otto Porter Jr. at 4,700, decent. But he played 24 minutes last night. I honestly don't know if he's going to even play in this one. So the Warriors have a lot to think about in this game, coming off of a big Phoenix Suns victory over the Suns, stopping that monumental win streak. So I need to see the injury report first before I know where to go here. I think Poole is good to go. Porter Jr., I don't know if he even plays. That would open up things for Gary Payton to possibly see more minutes. Damian Lee to see more minutes. We'll have to see there, but I don't expect him to play here. And speaking of Gary Payton II, I like him at 3,100. We might see less of Curry because it's on the second end of a back-to-back and they're double-digit home point favorites at home. So we'll keep an eye on that, but I think Poole is the one guy that I can hang my hat on here for now, and then we'll see what happens as we inch closer to the game time and injury reports and news breaks out for this team. All right, jumping on over to the next game of the night. We have two left. We have the Los Angeles Clippers taking on the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento. We have a 216.5 game total. The Kings are and the Clippers are 2-point road favorites. On the injury report, we don't know for the Clippers yet. They didn't play, or they played last night. So we will see. But Paul George left Friday. He tweaked his ankle in Friday, played through it. But he is, I would assume, questionable for this one. We're not sure if he's going to play. Kawhi Leonard, Nick Batum have both been out. Jason Preston also. On the Kings side of the ball, we have Harrison Barnes as doubtful, Mo Harkless as questionable, Robert Woodard as out. We'll start with the Clippers, and obviously a lot of this hinges on Paul George's availability. At 10-2 in this matchup, he makes sense, even though he hasn't done much lately. If I don't have news on him before 7:38, I'm not playing him. I mentioned he hasn't hit 50 points in quite some time yet. And that's what you need for value. He hasn't hit 50 since the 16th of November. So while this team has been playing good, he has been not stuffing the stat sheet, but doing more so off the stat sheet. He is in a good matchup here, so you can take a chance, but that would strictly be GPP if you have enough cojones to do that with him possibly not even playing in this one. Reggie Jackson, nice pivot there, 6,600. Possibly no Paul George. He's going to be the alpha on this team. I think that's a good price tag. Marcus Morris Sr., not sure if he even plays back-to-back. He missed a lot of time. We'll see exactly what happens there. Terrence Mann, I do like at 4,800. He's going to step up, especially if there's no Paul George. Going to get a lot more minutes. I think Jackson, Mann are safe. Luke Kennard, possible shot there at 4,400 if Paul George misses. We already have no Batum, so there's already possible minutes to go around, and we might not have Marcus Morris Sr. because it's the back end of a back-to-back, so a lot of things to play out there. I think those three would be pretty solid options, with Jackson and Mann leading the way as very safe, and Luke Kennard a possibility if things start opening up as the day goes on. Jumping on over to the Kings side of the ball, we still have likely no Barnes. He's doubtful for this one. Mo Harkless, even if he plays, is not going to do much. So that means that we have a likely Terrence Davis start again. We do have Bagley back for this one, but I think Medu is going to start again. Rashawn Holmes at 6K he's just a good player, man. He's beaten this price tag 3 of the last 4 games, and the one he didn't, he had 29 fantasy points. He played 2 games in a row, a back-to-back, after he missed a week, so he's ready to go. There's no limitations on him, and he had nearly 86 fantasy points in those 2 games combined. So, 78 fantasy points. Sorry for that. But Rashawn Holmes makes a lot of sense in this matchup. Tyrese Haliburton at 6'3 also makes a lot of sense in this matchup. Won't go too much Fox. Clippers are a fantastic defensive team, and I like taking the value here with, or the cheaper value here with Haliburton, Holmes. Medu makes sense if he's going to start. Terrence Davis likely draws a start again at 3,500. I think that's where I'll hang my hat on for these guys. Holmes specifically, Terrence Davis, if he draws the start, I really like. And let's jump on over to the last game of the night. We have the Boston Celtics traveling across country to take on the Portland Trailblazers. On the injury report for the Celtics, we have nobody. They played last night again. But we know Jaylen Brown missed it, and Romeo Langford could be out for this one as well. Definitely something to keep an eye on. Again, another team that's playing on the back end of a back-to-back, so we don't have a full injury report for them yet. So we don't know exactly what is going on there. But on the other side of the ball, we have Damian Lillard as one of those, the Greek reporter said. Damian Lillard is out. Nasir Little, Anthony Simons, all out as well. The spread is 217.5, or the game total is 217, and the Celtics are 1.5 point home favorites. All right. We'll start with the Celtics. If Brown's not there, Tatum, Schroeder, Rob Williams, I think they're all in solid matchups. Marcus Smart, I mean, Lillard's not there. There's going to be, they could run away with this, but I don't think they will because they're traveling. They're playing across country. They're on their road trip right now, back end of a back-to-back. But if Jaylen Brown is not going to be in here for this one, and he just missed it, they said he was out for hamstring injury management. So I would expect him to play, but they might win this one without him, with the Blazers missing Lillard and a couple solid rotation pieces outside of him. So they might win without him, but we'll see exactly if he plays or not. If he doesn't, Jason Tatum at under 10K, yeah, I'll be looking at you. I'll be looking at you, Dennis Schroeder. Going to draw the start likely. Going to get a lot of extra minutes and a lot of extra production as he's been doing. He had 35 points in the last game against Utah. So those two specifically, I'll be taking a very long look at. If Jaylen Brown plays, it bumps both of them down a little bit. I'll still have some interest in Tatum, not as much, but I won't have as much interest in Schroeder. He won't be starting. He won't be playing a near 40 minutes. He'll probably be playing 29 to 32, and don't want to look at him too much in this one. But Rob Williams, again, back end of a back-to-back, I don't know if you are playing because we know all the injuries and maintenance that he's been going through. So if he does play and he's ready to go, I think this is a very solid matchup for him. If he doesn't, Grant Williams could draw the start. Al Horford might start at center. Things will change. Al Horford finds himself in a solid matchup. Grant Williams finds himself as a very solid play for value at under 4K. So a lot of things to keep an eye on here, I think. But we'll need to see what happens there. I do like Rob Williams if he's ready to go. His usual 25 to 32 minutes. If not, Grant Williams, you come and play. Al Horford, you get a bump there. Don't need to certainly go to Al Horford. I think Rashawn Holmes for $800 cheaper in the last game, I still do prefer, but he would make some sense for a pivot play for people. On the other side of the ball, we don't have Lillard. We don't have his backup in Simons. We don't have Nasir Little. Who do we have? Dennis Smith Jr. might draw the start. We'll start with him at the point guard position. I played 19 and 17 in the last two games he's played. Brought back over 20 fantasy points. Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to play here. I don't know how much. They can still run McCollum at the point guard position a lot. Powell can play some point. I can play Covington at the three. Nance at the four if they want to. They have some options here. Ben McLemore will get some minutes. Tony Snell always finds himself in lineups wherever he goes. But Dennis Smith Jr. at 3,400 makes a lot of sense as a play here, no matter what you're looking at. He might see 25 minutes, and we know he, especially without Lillard there, we know this guy can fill up the stat sheet when he wants to, and he's going to be outgunning. So I like him here. McCollum at 9K. Don't love him. He's probably going to see a lot of Marcus Smart, and rightfully so. Even in the last game without Lillard, they did get blown out, but he didn't do great. He did take 18 shots, only hit 7 of them though. The 9K price tag, like the Lillard not playing, is already baked into that. So I don't love that there. If he was back to his 7.7s or so, I would really like it. But 9K, even without Lillard, don't really like it there. Nurkic got a bump too. He's now 7.3. He was 6.4 before the Spurs game, their last game. Now he's up to 7.3. I think a lot of these guys did get their prices baked into it, especially those two. Guy like Norman Powell did not, and there's no Nasir Little. I expect him to play 30 plus 35 minutes here. I do think that's a solid price tag for him without Lillard or Little in here. While McCollum and Nurkic got their price tags bumped up a lot, Powell did not. So I like that there. And Robert Covington actually is losing. He's dropping a little bit from the last game as well. Don't mind going him there, but I don't think you have to. I would stick more to Powell. I would stick more to Dennis Smith Jr. If you wanted to get ballsier, you can take a shot at Ben McLemore if you'd really like, or even Tony Snell. They're going to be playing. But I think Powell and Dennis Smith Jr. are the two guys that I like, and they're both rock solid price tags. One's on a 3.4 and one's 5.2. So those are the two guys that I'll be looking at the most here. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. And I can throw player tiers out here really quick. For the expensive play, I was saying some people at the top. Those are the two that I would play the most, depending on if Giannis does play or not. But instead of going super, super top, I'll go more low-end high price. So we don't have to – you can figure it out there. I like Vucevic at 9.4, if I'm not spending up for the two top guys. Very solid matchup. Starting to hit his shots. Starting to come around. Missed some time there. But he's getting the groove back. He's finding out where he fits in this stacked roster. And I like Vuk at 9.4. Vuk is looking really solid. All right. On the mid-tier play, I think there is a ton of mid-tier plays. But I'm going to go towards the lower end mid-tier, just like I did on the high price guys. I'll go to the lower end. I like a lot of there's 3-4 guys I like in the 7.5 plus range there, but I'll drop it all the way down to 6K for you guys. I like Rashawn Holmes at 6K. Very solid matchup there. 6K, he's been playing really well. There's no Harrison Barnes. There's going to be extra shots to go for him. in the two games he's played since he's come back for about a week off, 76 fantasy points, just about. Been very solid at 6K. That's a nice price tag for him. And the cheap options for the value. And again, I'll stick with the super cheap guys here. I'll go all the way to 3-4. I think I just mentioned him. Dennis Smith Jr. at 3-4. He might draw the start. He's going to make for a very solid tournament guy. He should play a lot of minutes there. If you want to go to a different option, because he probably is going to be more highly owned, Maxi Kleba at 4-1 makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know if Porzingis is playing at the moment, and I think even if he does, he's still going to get minutes close to 30, maybe surpass 30 here. All right, thank you guys for tuning in. We will catch you again tomorrow. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.